The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod needs faithful Lutheran laymen, commissioned ministers, and pastors to serve on its boards, commissions, and agencies. Nominations are open for the Boards of Regents at our Concordia Universities and Seminaries, the LCMS Board of Directors, the Office of National and International Mission, the Lutheran Church Extension Fund, Concordia Publishing House, and the Commission on Theology and Church Relations. Learn more at issuesetc.org/nominations. The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod needs you. issuesetc.org/nominations.
Now pay close attention, little children. It's somebody you ought to know. Yeah, it's all about a man that walked on earth nearly 2,000 years ago. Well, he healed the sick and afflicted.
God has rejected King Saul. King Saul has proven unfaithful. And now we need another king. Saul will remain on the throne even after David, his replacement, is anointed by Samuel. But Samuel is not so sure he wants to go to Bethlehem, to the house of Jesse, to anoint one of his sons to be the next king. Why is that? Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's time to teach a Sunday school lesson on David being anointed king in 1 Samuel 16. Pastor Tom Baker joins us. He's host of the radio show called Law and Gospel. For almost 30 years, he met monthly to prepare his Sunday school teachers for the classroom. Tom, welcome back.
Thank you.
God tells the prophet Samuel, I have provided myself a king, as King Saul is being rejected. What does that mean?
That is understood by Scripture, interpreting Scripture. You go to Romans chapter 13, where it says, let every person be subject to the governing authorities. In the next sentence, for there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God. Now, even though God left Saul, he still had instituted him as king. And in fact, in 1 Samuel 16, verse 1, God says to Samuel, I have rejected Saul from being king over Israel. Fill your horn with oil and go, and I will send you to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided for myself a king among his sons. And so this is important to realize that God chooses the leadership in a country, just like he chooses the leadership in a congregation. A pastor has a call, and oftentimes the kind of pastor you receive is really due to a great amount of time, due to the kind of congregation you are. And so if you're a congregation that is not teaching pure doctrine, etc., you're probably not going to be getting a pastor who teaches that pure doctrine. Whereas if you're a faithful congregation, you'll get a faithful pastor. Israel was faithful at this time to God, so he wanted a king that he had chosen that was appropriate for his people Israel.
Why is Samuel fearful of going to Jesse's house to find the one that God has chosen to replace Saul?
Because the idea that Saul is going to be replaced is not a good idea in the mind of Saul. Samuel even says, how can I go, Lord? If Saul hears it, he will kill me. So Samuel is afraid that Saul will take action against him when he hears that Samuel is going to anoint a new king, because Saul is very jealous of his being a king. And even though initially he really gets to like David under certain circumstances, it's not long before when he hears the people saying that David is the conqueror for the Israelites, that Saul begins to really hate him and even attempts to kill him. So Saul has a temper, and Samuel is aware of that, and that's why he is afraid to go to Jesse and anoint a new king.
What does God command Samuel to do then?
He says, take a heifer with you and say, I have come to sacrifice to the Lord, and invite Jesse to the sacrifice, and then I, this is God speaking, I will show you what you shall do, and you shall anoint for me him whom I declare to you. Now, this is very important for the Sunday school teachers to get across to the children, that they have no idea at times what they're going to grow up to become. Maybe a policeman or a doctor or a lawyer or an assembly worker or a mother. They just don't know. And so here is a wonderful lesson that God will make sure that as you grow up in the faith, you will be being taken care of, and he will declare promises to you that he will fulfill. Just as David later on says, the Lord has kept his promises. He also will do this with every believing heart.
What happens when Samuel arrives there in Bethlehem in the house of Jesse?
So he goes there and he asks Jesse to show him his sons. He says, I have come to sacrifice to the Lord, which is true. Consecrate yourselves and come with me. And he consecrates Jesse and his sons and invites them to the sacrifice. Now, each of the sons come before Samuel. The first one is Eliab, E-L-I-A-B. And boy, he looks like that he will be the anointed one that God wants, because he really looks good to Samuel. But then God says to Samuel, do not look on his appearance or on the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For the Lord sees not a man how a man sees. Man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. Now, that is really a problem that we're having in the world today, that there are those who look on an individual and they decide, well, he's not my race, he's not my color, he's not my nationality. Boy, I don't know if I'm going to really like him, because we're looking at the outward appearance. I saw a movie recently where they were rejecting an individual as an officer in their village because he had not been born in the village. You have to be born in the village, they said, to be elected as an officer. So that's what people often do. And to be a good exercise for the Sunday school teacher to ask the students, have you looked at someone and decided you're not sure about them because of their appearance? Maybe they have a different appearance than you're used to, or you just don't like it. And we need to be careful, because in a congregation, you have all kinds of appearances. And if they are Christians, there's no distinction, as Paul says, between Jew or Gentile, male or female, slave or free, when it comes to their relationship to Jesus Christ. So this is how I would bring in that point when Samuel is being told that each of the sons he's seen, and he sees a number of them. In fact, seven sons pass before Samuel. And then finally, Samuel says to Jesse, the Lord has not chosen any of these. So he says to Jesse, are all your sons here? Jesse says, well, there does remain the youngest, but behold, he's keeping care of the sheep. And that was usually given to the youngest son. And Samuel said to Jesse, send and get him, for we're not going to begin until he comes here. Then he brought David before Samuel. And it says, he was ruddy and had beautiful eyes and was handsome. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is he. And Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord rushed upon David from that day forward. And that's how Samuel was instructed by God to anoint David.
What does it mean that the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward?
Well, it means that the Spirit of the Lord is given by God in order for a person who is a believer to deal with their vocation in a better manner. For example, pastors will tell you that even though they don't think they're worthy to be a pastor, as they get into the Old and New Testament, study, read, etc., they get excited about doing their sermons. And I tell you, I've seen a number of nurses during my illness and surgery that were just really wonderful. They really had a way. Now, the hospital I'm going to is a Christian hospital, so it didn't surprise me, especially when in every room of the hospital, there's the cross of Jesus Christ. So they do have an attitude. And that's why a child needs to understand that with the help of the Holy Spirit, which is given in baptism, the child should have had it. Namely, you get the forgiveness of sins and the gift of the Holy Spirit. But that gift of the Holy Spirit is one in which your faith is given and it is increased so that the promises of God come to your mind when you're in troubles of sorrow or sickness or whatever. And that's how you get through life, being in the Spirit. And that's what happened to David, that he received the Holy Spirit.
It says that the Spirit of the Lord, on Saul's part, departed from him, and instead a distressing spirit from the Lord troubled Saul. How should we understand that?
We should understand it in light of Scripture, where even this happened to the disciples. For example, they really loved Jesus. They did not yet recognize him as God until the resurrection, but they did receive him and love him for all his miracles, etc. But remember Peter? Jesus says, I'm going to Jerusalem to die, and I will rise in 3 days. And Peter starts arguing with him. No, that's not going to happen. And what does Jesus say? Peter, get thee behind me, Satan, because a different spirit had overcome. We see that from the beginning of creation, when Adam and Eve followed not the Spirit of God, but the spirit of Satan in the form of a serpent, because they enjoyed more what Satan was telling them. If they would eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, they would become like God, rather than what God was telling them, that if they eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, they would die. And you can find this throughout the history of the Old and New Testament. Even a great man like David sinned with Bathsheba, and a different spirit had overcome him. So that when God removes the spirit of the Holy Spirit from Saul, then he is not able to accomplish those things that he wants. And that is why in verse 14 of chapter 16, it says that the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and a harmful spirit from the Lord tormented him. You see, that's important to understand, that when we are tormented and led into temptation, the Lord is permitting Satan to do that. But he has a purpose, and that hopefully is to restore us in repentance to him. It appears that that didn't happen with Saul, but at any rate, even his servants recognized it, saying, "Behold now, a harmful spirit from God is tormenting you." So it must have been obvious also to the servants of Saul.
And that occasion, David entering Saul's house, we'll find out how with Pastor Tom Baker as we teach a Sunday school lesson on David being anointed king next.
This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we move further into Genesis with the fall. Called to account, judgments rendered, grace extended, and the sacrifices of Cain and Abel. Join me, Pastor Will Whedon, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand. Listen at thewordendures.org or your favorite podcast provider.
God's song of deliverance is your song, too. Dive into the book of Exodus with the Issues, Etc. book of the month for September, Deliver Us, God's Rescue Story in Exodus. It's written by Issues, Etc. guest Dr. Reed Lessing. Find out more about Deliver Us at our website, issuesetc.org, or by calling Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. Deliver Us, God's Rescue Story in Exodus, the Issues, Etc. book of the month for September.
Equipping the priesthood of all believers, you're listening to Issues, Etc.
Do you know a child with autism, dyslexia, ADHD, or Down syndrome? Do you have a student who needs an effective yet more gently paced education? We invite you to visit simplyclassical.com for a complete academic curriculum rooted in the truth of God's Word, the mercy of forgiveness, and the peace of Christ. From Memoria Press, simplyclassical.com. Promo code LPR22.
When pastors talk about us, they say ad crucem. When laity mention us, they say ad crucem. When telemarketers call us, they say ADC Rucam. But a Luther rose by any name will smell as sweet. Ad crucem is the place to go for greeting cards and artwork, jewelry and ornaments, housewares, church certificates, church banners, and much more. Visit adcrucem.com. That's ADCRUCEM.com.
Our forefathers in the faith refused to follow as Christians all around them became confused and unfaithful when asked, did God really say? This can only grow out of the conviction that Christ is the world's Redeemer. That is the core of our infrastructure. The bonds of love that grow around this are fed on the visible word and the body and blood of Christ. That's an excerpt from Pastor Matt Harrison's article in the latest Issues, Etc. journal for such a time as this. You can subscribe to the journal for free. Go to our website, issuesetc.org. You will find a red subscription button on the right-hand side. Click on that and enter your email address. We'll send you the online Issues, Etc. journal for free. issuesetc.org. So, Tom, the hostile spirit that the Lord sends to Saul, this eventually occasions David coming to live in his house. How is that?
Yes. It was due to his servants of Saul, because they said, "Let our Lord, namely Saul, command your servants who are before you to seek out a man who is skillful in playing the lyre, That's an instrument. And when the harmful spirit from God is upon you, he will play it and you will be well. Well, Saul was really interested in that. He said, provide for me a man who can play well and bring him to me. One of the young men answered, behold, I have seen a son of Jesse the Bethlehemite, who is skillful in playing, a man of valor, a man of war, prudent in speech, a man of good presence, and the Lord is with him. So here again, you get across to the Sunday school students that God is preparing all this. It doesn't say where this man met David, but he saw him playing a lyre, and it was very well played. We have members in the congregation who oftentimes, when they are distressed, if they sit down in their chair and put on good music, and it can help them relax. And so this is what the servants of Saul were saying. So Saul sent messengers to Jesse. Send me David, your son, who is with the sheep. And Jesse took a donkey, put on it bread and a skin of wine and a young goat, and sent them by David, his son, to Saul. And therefore David came to Saul, and that's how he entered his service. Verse 21 says, and Saul loved him greatly, to the degree that he became his armor bearer. So finally, Saul sent to Jesse saying, let David remain in my service, for he has found favor in my sight. Because whenever the harmful spirit from God is upon Saul, David took the lyre and played it with his hand, and Saul was refreshed and was well, and the harmful spirit departed from him. Now, we as pastors and laity can also help people who are in distress. We may not be playing an instrument, but we may be saying the word of God to them. It's not at all unusual when a pastor goes to a hospital, regardless of the situation of the patient. Many times from the book of Psalms, a reading is read to the patient, which comforts the patient. So God has a way even today to comfort believers with the word of God, which is very important. And that's a point the Sunday school teachers are getting across to the students.
How does David eventually take the throne himself?
Saul dies, and that actually is a part of the lesson that begins in chapter 7 with verses 4 to 17. It actually begins in chapter 5 after Saul dies. Then all the tribes of Israel came to David and said, behold, we are your bone and flesh. In times past, when Saul was king over us, it was you who led us and brought us in Israel. And the Lord said to you, you shall be shepherd of my people Israel, and you shall be prince over Israel. And therefore, David was anointed before the Lord as king when he was 30 years old. And he reigned 40 years as their king. And notice, where did they get this information from? Well, remember, David had been anointed years before in the presence of his brothers. And so they would have said things to other people that, guess what? Samuel has anointed our brother to be king over Israel. And they refer to Jesus in the same way in the Bible as shepherd and prince over Israel. So this is another occasion for the Sunday school teacher to remind the children that God has chosen someone else to be shepherd and king over us. And that person was Jesus Christ, who was raised from the dead and continues to be our Savior and shepherd even today, because he keeps his promises that were given to us at our baptism and that we heard from our parents, our Sunday school teachers, our pastor, and in reading the Bible. And so from this account, we learn how God kept his promises way back to Samuel that David would be king, even though it didn't really seem possible at that time. But that is what has happened.
What is God's promise to King David?
The promise to King David is that David had decided to build a house for God. But Samuel at first agreed with it until that evening when the Lord came to him and said, "No, go and tell David that I will have his offspring build my house." And that, of course, is Solomon. "He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of the kingdom forever." Now, God cannot be talking about Solomon because Solomon also died. But guess what? Your house, he's talking to David, "I took it from Saul, and your house and your kingdom shall be made sure forever before me. Your throne shall be established forever." And this is what was told to David. So God promises that David's family, that his line would continue forever. His kingdom would never end. And of course, God was referring to a special descendant of David, namely Jesus. And what does David say in verse 20 of chapter 7? "For you know your servant, O Lord God, because of your promise, and according to your own heart, you have brought about all this greatness to make your servant know it. And you establish for yourself your people Israel to be your people forever. And you, O Lord, became their God." And in verse 29, "Now therefore may it please you to bless the house of your servant so that it may continue forever before you. For you, O Lord God, have spoken, and with your blessing shall the house of your servant be blessed forever," which means also during the time of heaven after the last day of judgment. And that's a promise that is given also to the children of faith in your Sunday school. So they will know that they are blessed forever because they are of the house of Jesus Christ, who died so that they will never really die and will live forever and ever with Jesus in heaven.
So what do we learn from this account of how God is keeping his promises for us?
We learn from this account that God kept every promise that he gave to Samuel, that he gave to David. You can go all the way back to Adam and Eve, Genesis 3:15, the promise that through the seed of Eve would come a Savior. And you can go to Abraham, where the promise was through Isaac, many, many of the nations will be blessed. And so you can't find a place where God makes a promise in connection to Jesus Christ that he does not keep. And so that is a really important point to get across to the children. We believe, yes, the history of the Bible, but that doesn't save us. What we believe are the promises connected to that history, which we also affirm as absolutely true through the power of the Holy Spirit. But it is the promises that we have faith in and trust.
Finally, what's the law and gospel of this lesson?
The law is often, like even Samuel did, we judge people by outward appearance and earthly standards. So we see somebody who is rich, has a nice car, a wonderful house, appears to have a great family, and we think that therefore that is obviously somebody whom God is taking care of. Whereas at times we may be poor or sick or injured and we wonder about God. But that's looking at earthly standards rather than at the heart of an individual. The gospel is that God sees and knows what we truly need, and by his grace and mercy given to us through the unlikely gift of his Son, Jesus Christ, he keeps his promises, and we can be sure of the comfort that we receive from the Holy Word, God's Bible.
Pastor Tom Baker hosts a radio show called Law and Gospel. For almost 30 years, he met monthly to prepare his Sunday school teachers for the classroom. For more information on Law and Gospel, visit the Talk on Demand archives page at issuesetc.org. Tom, thanks.
And thank you.
Dr. John Bombaro will be with us on the other side of the break on this Tuesday afternoon, September the 20th. We'll talk about the substitutionary atonement. He says, without it, there is no gospel. We'll be right back.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
You're invited to Oktoberfest featuring the Waterloo German Band Friday night, October 7th at St. Paul Lutheran School in Hamel, Illinois. Oktoberfest features a buffet dinner, silent and oral auctions, and of course, beer. Tickets are $20. Proceeds benefit St. Paul Lutheran School, the only classical Lutheran school in Greater St. Louis. Learn more at school.stpaulhamel.org. Oktoberfest is sponsored in part by Ernst Heating and Cooling, Alton Memorial Hospital, Vallow Floor Coverings, Seavers Equipment, Lutheran Church Extension Fund, Baker Construction, Bunker Hill Chiropractic, and Lutheran Public Radio. Oktoberfest, Friday night, October 7th at St. Paul Lutheran School in Hamel, Illinois. School.stpaulhamel.org.